In the Sunday school time, as we're studying the Bible, and in this case, the Bible issue. And we just pray you have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As you see, the title of the message has to do with mostly the ESV. That's my main focus. And the ESV is the English Standard Version. It's one of the newer ones. So, you know, you had the back in England, the Revised Version, 1881, 1901, the American Standard Version, jump all the way to 1952, the Revised Standard Version. This comes from the Revised Standard Version, as you'll see in the introductory remarks to the ESV. The ESV is a Calvinist Bible put out by Calvinists. It's much like, you know, you'd have a Catholic Bible put out by the Catholics. And you have a Jehovah's Witness Bible put out by the Jehovah's Witnesses, the New World Translation. So this is the same line. In other words, sovereign is never found in your Bible, but you find it five times in the ESV. Why is that? Well, if you want to convince somebody that your teaching is correct, you just write a Bible and put your doctrine in there, your slant in there, and then what happens is you just tell people, look, it's in the Bible. You don't tell them it's their Bible. So you have a captive audience. The Bible says they're taken captive by the devil at his will. That's what you get out of this stuff. And, you know, people think, well, I'm a, you know, they attack me as some type of hateful person because I stand for one Bible. That's it. One book stands alone, name of one of my books. One book, one authority, another name. Why is it one book rightly divided? Because it's always one book. I don't go and decide my doctrine and go find a version that matches what I believe. You see, that's the problem. If you have 150 different versions, like let's say I'm writing a book, written a few of them, and I say, well, you know, I want to prove this point. So I get all the versions and their search engines, all the versions, and I just do a word search for my particular slant that I want to teach. Boom. I get a verse. Now, that verse doesn't say the same thing in every other version, every other modern version, and or any other version, but I've got my verse to prove my point. That's what you have out there. So if you buy books, and I have thousands in my library, I've read many, 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 many books. Most books I read, I don't agree with because I don't want to read what reinforces what I already believe. I want to read what challenges me, and what challenges me is to read what other people think. And so I do that. I don't suggest that for anybody else. It's maddening. You know, that's why I'm insane. But we don't need an amen on that one. All right, let's go ahead and get started. I always like to throw these two up there just because it's just cool the way that they change up there. If you don't think it's cool, that's fine. Everybody has their own opinion. This one changed too, made me pastor of Faith Independent Baptist Church. And there's my 400th anniversary. I like to throw this one up there because I did it in 2011, 10 years ago, for the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible in 1611 to 2011. This is actually following along One Book Stands Alone, but the ESV is not in there. The ESV is in One Book, One Authority, where I go into the Calvinism and the doctrines that are changed. We'll go over some of it today, but this is the attack on the doctrine of salvation. That's where the focus is, and that is in the ESV. In the One Book, One Authority. I probably should have put that up there. But there's one book that stands alone, and it's the King James Bible. Now, nobody can argue with that. I mean, they can argue whether it's perfect. They can argue whether it's inspired. They can argue whether it's preserved. They can whether it's inerrant. They can argue all that stuff. But they can't argue that there's one book that stands alone different from all the others. That's what I'm going to show you today. Again, it's up to you to carry whatever Bible you want to carry, whatever version you want. I mean, that's up to you. I'm going to preach from the King James Bible. If you want to follow along with me, you ought to get that and follow along. You can read and follow along. I've had people tell me, I say, well, you go into a church and you've got this version, the preacher's got another version, what do you do? And they've told me, well, I just turn the preacher off and read mine. Now, I don't know how you do that unless you got a hearing aid. You know, I think some of you do, and I need one. I could start turning some people off, you know, where they're preaching falsehood, just turn it off. And, but I'm not that far gone. I can still hear a few things, so I can't do that. But I don't get it. You turn the preacher off when he's preaching so you can read your version. It's confusion is what it is, because I've been in a couple of churches, maybe three or four at three or four different times where they did a modern version, and I was just like, man, I can't follow along. Then you go to a Sunday school class, and everybody just flips a coin and does their own thing. But we're looking at hyper-Calvinism and the ESV. Hyper-Calvinism and the ESV. King James Bible, I always start off with Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, that's the words, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The ESV says the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in the furnace of the ground, furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them, you will guard us from this generation forever. So it's a little different from the NIV. The NIV says, O Lord, you'll keep us safe and protect us from such people. You know, that was the one that was just mind-boggling. They changed that in the 2011 version. But in the ESV, it follows along. So what is the textual basis for the ESV? And this is very important because, as we look at this thing, what are they claiming is the basis for the text? It says, the words and phrases themselves grow out of the Tyndale King James legacy. So they give some, words to that. And most recently, out of the RSV, with the 1971 RSV text providing the starting point for our work. And so they go through that and they say, it's most recently out of the RSV. And then they say that 1971 RSV is the text that supposedly is behind the ESV. Throughout, the translation team has benefited greatly from the massive textual resources that become readily available recently. Look at that word. In other words, we are evolving in our understanding of the Bible. We're evolving because we found more manuscripts. We're evolving because, we went over there and dug a hole and listen, the majority texts, 95% of the texts in existence, the Greek manuscripts, all support the King James Bible, not the Alexandrian text or the modern versions. So they say, now readily available recently and from new insights. We're always getting better. No, we're devolving, we're not evolving. If you look at anything about history, we are devolving, and so is our understanding. The Bible says they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. And they're learning, but they can't understand the truth. There's knowledge. Knowledge is increased, the Bible says, in the last days. Well, is it? Internet? Google this? Google that? I mean, it became a verb and a $1 billion company. Why? Because knowledge is increased. But understanding of the Bible is decreased. So it says, from new insights into biblical laws and culture and from current advances in Hebrew and Greek lexicography and grammatical understanding. See, so now they understand, the poor King James translators 400 years ago didn't have a clue. That is their point. They think themselves superior to people that probably, many of them knew Greek by the time they were 8 years old, 6 years old, knew Greek. These are men that God chose and specifically brought together for such a time as this. So, getting into it right now. Did God institute a New Testament? Here's the King James Bible's New Testament versus the ESV's New Covenant. Now, you have to understand that the Calvinist believes in covenant theology. So what does he want to do? He wants to get covenant in there a lot, and what he does is change his testament to covenant. For example, in Hebrews 7:22, King James Bible, Jesus made a surety of a better testament. In the ESV, it's a better covenant. Now, isn't it amazing that now in the, when this version came along, now we realize there is no New Testament? The death of the testator, a New Testament, this is real important, but there is no New Testament anymore according to the ESV. It's all the New Covenant. Now, are there covenants? Absolutely. Was there an Abrahamic covenant? Yes. A Noahic covenant? Yes. Was there this? I get it. But you don't change the Bible because you don't have enough proof to prove your doctrine from the Word of God. So what do? You come out with a new version. Here it is again. Hebrews 9:15 talks about the New Testament, talks about the First Testament. And you just read it for yourself and look at what it says. In the ESV, it says, therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. Well, it is a new covenant. But he's the mediator of a new testament that by, it's King James Bible, but that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. This is talking about the testament. There's only a first and a second testament. There's the New Testament. What is it? It's not the First Testament. The First Testament was under the law. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You know what the New Testament does? It gives that eternal promise, that eternal inheritance. You don't mess with the Bible. They change it to the New Covenant. And it's just they destroy the Testament. There's no New Testament anymore. Can you imagine how far we have just excelled in our understanding to now understand that all these thousands of years there's been a New Testament, an Old Testament? Not anymore. Look at what he says in Matthew 26:28 and Mark 14:24. My blood of the New Testament, they say, my blood of the New Covenant. You can't, and we're only an eighth of an inch in. Don't think this is the only issue. Luke 22:20, 1 Corinthians 11:25, the New Testament in my blood, the New Covenant in my blood. What a mess. 2 Corinthians 3:6, able ministers of the New Testament. You know what I am? I'm to be an able minister of the New Testament. You know what they say? Competent to be ministers of a new covenant. 2 Corinthians 3:14, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. Not anymore. It talks about when they read the Old Covenant. The problem is the Old Covenant, they're saying singular. There are many covenants in the Bible. In the Old Testament, you have the Noahic, you got the Abrahamic, you've got all these covenants, and now they're making it look like, but there's only one Old Testament and only one New Testament. Very important to understand that. Here's why. Hebrews 9:16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. In order for a New Testament or a testament to be enforced, you have to have the death of the testator. So until Jesus Christ died, the New Testament didn't come into effect. It had to have the death. Well, look at what it says here. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. Well, duh. But you see, they're destroying the truth. You can't cross-reference the will with a covenant now. But you can the testament with the testament and the testator. And that's what's important. Now, what about this sovereign thing I mentioned? Poof. They just bring it into existence. Why? Because they want to teach their doctrine. Because the best way to prove that Calvinism is supposedly correct, well, first of all, you never become a Calvinist unless you read books. You never become a Calvinist by reading the Bible. That is true. You never become a hyper-dispensationalist except by reading books. Just that's true too. So I'll just give them that side. They'll love to hear me say that, but that's true too. Acts 4:24, and when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, is this what they said? Sovereign Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Did he say sovereign Lord or did they just make that appear? It's just magic. That's all it is. They just, poof, put it in the Bible. ESV, 1 Timothy 6:15, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, poof, it just put it in there. Why? Well, it hadn't been in there for all these, 2,000 years in manuscripts. You're telling me that all of a sudden they came out with the NIV and, well, they came out in 1881 with a revised version. Why didn't they put sovereign in there? Because it wasn't there. How about 1901? It wasn't there. How about 1952 with the RSV? It wasn't there. Now, this is an offspring of the RSV. Oh, now it's there. You see what I mean? I mean, come on. Come on with a little honesty. It's wrong. It's wicked. It's godless. Look at another one, Revelation 6:10. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord. Did they? No, they didn't. They just made it up. I want you to consider these changes. Just listen to this. 1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. You know what I want? I want crowns when I get to heaven. I don't have a problem with saying that. If God offers a crown, I want everyone I can get. Why? Because that's the right way to do it. You say, oh, you just want a reward. Yeah, I want a reward. I don't want to suffer loss. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what he says? We're going to have crowns. You know what the ESV says? Every athlete really exercises self-control in all things. Really? I mean, they never eat wrong. They never stop to exercise. I mean, they never stop exercising. I mean, come on. How stupid. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. You know what you're going to get? You're going to look like an Olympic athlete back in the 1930s with a little wreath around your head. That's what they've just changed it to. That's terrible. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 10:15 talks about wise men. You know what the ESV talks about? Sensible people. How do you preach that stuff? Hey, ordinances, right? You got two ordinances in the church. What are they? Water. Water baptism and the Lord's Supper? Okay? You don't have you got traditions. No. They're not just traditions. They're ordinances of the church. Amen. Traditions are the traditions of men. Amen. Ephesians 6:12, rulers of the darkness of this world. Wow. Now, you laugh because I hit the button too quick. I couldn't even say it. Cosmic powers. Yeah, woo. I guess we got E.T. You know, we're in the E.T. generation. We're in the Star Wars generation. Fruit of the Spirit, right? You want the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to preach on that this morning, Lord willing. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of light. Do you get it? I mean, this is just, again, we're not even an inch in. I have 189 slides. We're in 54. This is terrible. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We got a lot of ex-military and military in here. I understand that. I don't understand the ESV. And the ESV, see, they're trying to bring it. They got to make enough change. Remember, they're in the copyright time of 150 other versions before them. You just can't. The thesaurus isn't that big to come up with enough different words. So here's where they go. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. Gender inclusive. It incorporates the same politically correct gender inclusive course just to a lesser degree. The ESV gender neutralizes references to man or men about 1,000 times. The masculine pronoun, he, him, and his, are likewise gender neutralized another 2,000 times. The NIV, the TNIV, the NRSV, the HCSB, and the ESV renderings are influenced more by political correctness than they are by God and His inspired texts. That's the truth. Now, where are we in 2021? It is what? August 15th. We've got same-sex marriage, men marrying men, women marrying women. I mean, did that start out there in the court system? I'll tell you where it started. It started with the revisers of Bibles. That's where it started. That's where the blame lies. Whole doctrines are removed. There's no imputation, no atonement, no old man, new man. They're all eliminated. Imputation means this. It's where God assigns or imputes His righteousness to the Christian and no longer attributes or imputes our sin to us. Impute means to reckon to one what does not belong to him. How important is this one doctrine which is eliminated from the modern versions? Great question. I'm glad you asked. Imputation, completely gone in the modern versions. Imputed righteousness. Let's just look at some King James verses on imputation. Gone in the ESV. God, Romans 4:6, God imputeth righteousness without works. He imputeth righteousness. Now just think of the definition I gave you. Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4:11, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Romans 4:22, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Romans 4:23, now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him. You see this imputation, how important it is? Look at Romans 4:24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Romans 5:13, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. James 2:23, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I can't even imagine not having a Bible where I could preach imputation. I can't imagine the people that are duped into picking up one because people have said, oh, it's the best, it's the most modern, closest to the originals. Not that any of them have ever seen an original. You know why you don't have originals? Because God knew if you had an original, you'd worship the original. Some people would. King James Bible believers would worship it, I'm afraid. Imputation. The attack on the doctrine of salvation, that was just all preliminary. Christ came to save the lost, or did he? In Luke 9, verse 55, the whole verse 56 that is in highlighted up there is gone. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Gone in the ESV. The ESV just sort of does this magic, but he turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. No longer do you have that fact that Christ came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Who would want that taken out? Well, people that don't want the Bible to be known by unbelievers so you can witness to them. That's an important verse to tell somebody, listen, Christ didn't come to destroy lives. He came to save them. Now, why are they taking it out? Because the oldest and best manuscripts didn't have it. You know what they say? The least logical verse needs to be left in there. In other words, if it lacks logic, it is right. If it's less doctrinal, it's right. This is really what Westcott and Hort's theory was. You know why? Because in the 4th century, good godly men changed the Bible to make it more doctrinally aligning with what they believed about the deity of Christ and salvation. So good godly men changed it. No, only wicked reprobates changed the Bible. Really. And what we have in the ESV is a bunch of wicked reprobates that changed the Bible to align with their false doctrine. And in doing so, they got to follow the other lines of teaching like the NIV that does the same thing. Why do they have to follow it? Because they can't contradict it, because that means the whole house comes tumbling down. It's all a house of cards. So if they changed it and they didn't include this change in it, and they read like the King James Bible, they would be admitting that the King James Bible is superior than the NIV and the New American Standard and the Revised Standard Version, the Revised Version, the American Standard, the one back in 1901. They can't do that. So they have to make all these changes just like the NIV does. So Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. You look in the ESV and there's no 18:11. What'd they do? So what you see is 10 and 12. You know why they use paragraph form in the modern versions more so? They use paragraph form so that you can't tell that it jumps from 10 to 12. See, when you look at my Bible, it goes 10, 11, 12 on the left. Well, if it went 10, 12, now some of them do that. I mean, then they put a footnote at the bottom. The oldest and best manuscripts deleted it. What does the NIV do? The same thing. Gone. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me, what's the object of your belief supposed to be? Jesus Christ. In the ESV, gone. NIV, gone. Not on me. There's no object to your belief. Mark 10:24. You know what it says there? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter in the kingdom of God. If you trust in anything but Jesus Christ, it's hard to get saved. You have to stop trusting in, you have to repent of trusting in anything else. If you say, I got to be water baptized to be saved and I'll trust Jesus. No, you got to repent. If you say, well, I got to have good works, you better repent of believing that good works are equal with Jesus Christ. What about trusting in riches? It's hard. You got to stop trusting in your riches. The NIV or the ESV. And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter in the kingdom of God, making salvation difficult. Salvation's simple. Nothing difficult about it at all. The NIV, same thing. Same thing. Ephesians 1:13, the only time you're told about trusting in Christ. Now that one said trusting in riches, you know, negatively. This is the positive one that says, in whom, in Jesus, ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In whom ye also trusted. What does the ESV say? You also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in Him, you were sealed with a promised Holy Spirit. Emphasize just hearing. Nobody is saved by hearing. You got to trust in Jesus. The NIV, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. You're not included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. You must trust. You must trust. And then it says you were marked. I've got that in one of my books, the modern versions. The modern versions basically that are going to be used when they're after the rapture, you're marked. So it's okay to take the mark in an NIV. Ephesians 1:13. Matthew 9:13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who wants you to know that He came to call sinners to repentance? Jesus Christ. Why? He said that. Not in the ESV. Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call righteous, but sinners. To what? To repentance. NIV, same thing. Here's one of the clearest salvation sequences in the Bible in Acts 8. Ethiopian eunuch Philip joins them. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He got saved by trusting in Christ. Now he's going to get baptized. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And he baptized him. What does the ESV say? He never gets saved. Jumps from 36 to 38. There is no 37. The guy asked the question, what prevents me from being baptized? Oh, he just stops the chariot and gets him baptized. I'm here to tell you, I hope I never do that. Well, you know, we'd like to see somebody get in our baptistry, and we'd like to get our numbers up, and we'd like to do this and do that. Well, let's go ahead and just baptize a bunch of people, not even asking them if they're saved.
A lot of churches do that in order to put it on the sword of the Lord. Well, I don't know if they do that to put it on the sword of the Lord. Too many people emphasize that rather than emphasizing Christ. I'll just tell you that. What's the NIV do? Same magic. Boom. This one is subtle and, you know, it's there. Here's the gospel. Look at verse 3. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Why does it say how that rather than just that Christ died? Because how that Christ died is important.
Yes, sir.
He died on the cross. He shed His blood. He became righteous for righteousness for us. He gave His righteousness to us. It's all there. That's the how of Christ dying. You know what the modern version does? It takes out that one little word out of the gospel. How that Christ died. And somebody could say, well, He could drown in the Sea of Galilee and it'd have been efficacious. No, it wouldn't, because He wouldn't have fulfilled Scripture. He wouldn't have shed His blood. We are washed by His blood, not the Sea of Galilee. Why? How is part of the gospel. NIV, same thing. Why is the blood important? Well, Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. ESV, no blood. It's gone. You say, well, it's in there in other places like Ephesians. I get it. It's in there in Ephesians. I know that. They're not going to take it out everywhere, because then I could say they took it out in Ephesians too. Eventually, it'll be gone in Ephesians. Why? Because we're devolving. Because you can make whatever change you want so long as you put a copyright on there and you can make enough money to sell the stockholders and the shareholders on it. NIV says the same thing. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansed us from all sin. You know what it says? It just says the blood of Jesus. No, it's Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. You know why Christ is important to have in there as many times you can get it in there? Because He's the Anointed One. Oh, good godly men added Christ in there in the 4th century. Then you shouldn't be able to find it in the 1st century writings. And you can. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Oh, I don't mean to digress. The NIV says the same thing. Revelation 1:5, you know what it says in Revelation 1:5? He washed us from our sins in His own blood. He washed us. He washed us. You know, when you're washed by God, you're clean. All your sins are washed away. We sing that song. ESV, it says, and He's freed us from our sins by His blood. Has He freed us? Yeah, but He's done much more than just freed us. He's washed us. He's made us clean. NIV, freed us from our sins by His blood. Why? Oh, well, you know, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus, they have this Greek word, and I'm not going to get into all that here. They got this Greek word, and it can be translated freed. Many times that's true. You know why? The Greek is a very imprecise language. One Greek word in the King James Bible, you can have 30 different translations of that one Greek word. What determines the meaning?
Context.
So you better know your Greek in order to translate into English, because it's context, context, context. It's not, well, this word means freed over here and washed over here, so washed can really mean freed, and we can just change washed to freed. That's not the way it works, because many times they bring error in the Bible when they do that. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. ESV says we're being saved. Now, I've told you this before, and we've looked at many of these verses or all of them already, but we're looking at the ESV today. Being saved. I am not being saved in my soul. I'm being saved from the wrath to come. My salvation is closer than when I believed physically. Spiritually, I am saved. And that's what 1 Corinthians 1:18 and the preaching of the cross is all about. Oh, by the way, it says the word of the cross. The word of the cross? I don't give you the word of the cross. You know what? I preach the cross. NIV, the message of the cross. Why? Copyright. Money. 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. In him, gone, made righteous, it's a work of God. For our sake he made him to be sin for who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. I'm not becoming righteous in the eyes of God. I am made righteous the moment I got saved 31 years ago. The NIV, might become. Why do they say the same thing? Because they come from the same line of manuscripts as the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that has the same changes in it. The same ones. Now it talks about the torture stake, which the NIV and the ESV don't, instead of the cross. I get that. You know, I mean, they don't want to emphasize the cross. But these guys are emphasizing the preaching of the cross, making it a message of the cross. 2 Corinthians 2:15, it has that word "we" in there because it includes Paul. Paul wouldn't even have known he was saved. He is being saved. He wasn't being saved. He didn't say that. The NIV says the same thing. Luke 23:33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. The only time Calvary is found in your Bible, Luke 23:33. ESV, it just says the skull. Is it the skull? Does it look like a skull? Yes. And does the Bible reference it as a skull? But in this place, one time, because it's called Calvary, they included Calvary in there. ESV says skull, and the NIV says skull. What an amazing thing. One more thing. I've already given you this before, but we've got some visitors, so Satan's attack does not end with the production of the modern translations. He's very subtle. This is the teen NIV study Bible. And on the back it says 20 full-color pages give a Christian perspective on contemporary issues. There's one in there called Church, and in there I'll blow it up. Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, Lutheran, Church of Christ, Catholic, Assembly of God. Why are there so many different churches? While we're at it, why so many athletic shoes? Adidas, Converse, Nike, is one of them wrong or just a matter of preference? Well, I don't know about you, but it's not just a matter of preference. Some of those churches teach up there, teach baptismal regeneration. It's not just a matter of preference. Church, alternate definition, what you have to get dressed up for so you can be bored for an hour in a morning service. That's what they're teaching the young people. Guilt, like conviction. Don't anybody say amen on that church alternate definition. They're trying to connect with the children. Yeah, they connect all right. You'll see how much they connect in a second. Guilt, like conviction, feeling like you're to blame when you didn't do anything wrong. Witnessing. You want your kids to witness, right? Way to get friends to laugh at you by telling them about God. Look at this one. I'll change the word there to fornication. Another fun thing mean adults tell teenagers to keep away from. That's the teen NIV study Bible. Here's a joke that was put out by a national preacher one time. We have an online Bible, the Franklin Electronic Bible, the Pentium Bible, the Video Bible, the Laserdisc Bible, and the CD-ROM Bible. King James, never heard of it. That is pretty realistic now. And again, I'll give you the old Doug, new Doug. Here's the old Doug. Why isn't the new Doug in there? I think he died. Oh, there he is. Wait a minute. There's no old Doug. The old Doug's gone. Here's the new Doug. Salvation sure and simple, only with a King James Bible. All right, let's all stand together. We'll start again in about 12 minutes. Thank you for our visitors being here. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Guide, lead, and direct. And we pray thy will be done in the services this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.